reposada para otra persona, depende del círculo en que estés. Uh-huh. Aunque dentro de los códigos hay intersecciones, como decías tú, el tráfico, uh-huh, bueno, y hay códigos comunes dentro de la ciudad por ser chilango, por vivir en la, uh-huh, ciudad, ¿no?
Claro.
Pero dentro del vivir en la ciudad también hay códigos. Si entras a Tepito, hay códigos, y si no te lo sabes, y si no vas con alguien que sea de ahí, no sales de ahí. Y si vas a Las Lomas, hay códigos también, y si no es de ahí, también saldrás de ahí, pero no sabes los códigos, ¿sabes? Entonces, hay distintos códigos dentro de la misma ciudad que pertenecen a diferentes, básicamente socioeconómicos, pero podrá ser religión, podrá ser hasta escuelas, ¿no?
Yo quería hacer un
proyecto
de abrir un pedazo de río que está entubado, que corre de Pacífico a Calzada de Tlalpan, y son 2 kilómetros. Pero resulta que este pedazo de río, que además tenía uno de los pozos más grandes de la Ciudad de México, y está una oficina de... ¿Perdón?
No, sí.
Ok. Es una de las oficinas de la Comisión Nacional del Agua ahí. Pero el río viene desde mucho más arriba. Entonces, para abrir este río y que la gente que viviera o habitara esta zona estuviera contenta, sin esa agua contaminada, me preguntaba yo, si se abriera este río y esta gente supiera que su colonia huele mal porque los de 11 kilómetros más arriba, en los dinamos, son los que tiran la basura, ¿qué pasaría ahí?
La reacción, ¿no? Claro.
Exactamente, porque a los otros no les conviene.
No.
Que, o sea, no. A ellos no les ayuda a abrir este pedazo de río, ¿no?
Wow.
Entonces,
pero significa ¿qué significa exactamente? Es una conexión a donde tú hablas como
una avena, o
una avena de ciudad, para conocer a dónde viene eso y conectarte a un otro lugar a donde hay otros códigos, otra basura.
Hay dos veneno.
O para entender la grandeza de ciudad, la variedad de los culturas, costumbres, o cómo tú lo ves.
There's two questions. If the first reaction will be like people hating each other, no, like because of those guys uphill, I'm like living like bad, you know, and living like this, or the people, even they are not getting anything immediately from opening this part of the river again, they start to take conscience that they will become with the fame of being the dirty ones in the city, because all their dirt is looked 11 kilometers that in the positive direction, you know. So which will be like the reaction on an act like that? But maybe it's really interesting, this idea of like, we are one, and we are living in just one place, and you know?
And how do you connect? Because I can see the link, I can feel the link, I like the idea, but how do you connect these two worlds, bottom up, mm-hmm, as well as top down? Because this is top down, this, mm-hmm, is the realization comes in the down part of what is up.
Yeah.
But how do you reverse this process as well to make it an interactive
activity? That is one of my questions that I haven't solved yet, and maybe is to develop kind of the same stages in both places at once. Because the river is coming from the mountain, and the first part that touches is called El Último Dinamo, that is Delegación Contreras, but it affects this place that is the border between Tlalpan and Coyoacán, you know. But and it would be amazingly important and good and nice in terms of security and development of a place, economics, whatever, you know, to make a project like this. But maybe if projects, if instead of just making one, you make two, I'm sure these people will keep clean that area.
How about displacing the people? Because you can just take a bus with 50 people and bring them down,
yeah,
to the part where you open the river, and take 50 people who live in that place and take them up where,
yeah,
the other people come from.
Yeah.
No, it's not like that.
The problem is
information, like Lorena said Saturday. You know,
but it's, I don't think it's only a question of information. En realidad, creo que lo que tendría que pasar es, o sea, para poder entender otro territorio que no es el tuyo, tienes que primero desterritorializarte tú. Y subirte a un camión y irte a otro lado no te desterritorializa, ¿no? Tiene que haber un acto interno el cual te esté moviendo algo para salirte del terreno de seguridad donde te encuentras.
Entonces, ¿no? Voluntario y autoingestionado, o ¿cómo se dice?
Sí.
O sea, puede ser un trabajo local.
Estoy de acuerdo.
Que implique más movimiento interno que el simple hecho de moverte al lugar y sigues igual.
Sí.
For now, if we bring all the garbage that we collect on the open part again to the origin, you know. No, but the trouble is it's bigger, because these people that first of all, there was communities there since the Spaniards arrived into the city, that they were living there, and the river was part of the culture and in the understanding of things that were perecederas, you know. People have these habits of throwing things into the river and you don't look at it anymore, you know? They just disappear. The people never ask where they end up, you know? So it's a problem of changing habits that is deeper and more than just moving.
The river is a good
metaphor, but it happens with everything else. Yeah.
I think we can use the river as the metaphor for distance between the people and between cultures and between systems and between codes, and maybe we can indicate the distances by using the river as a medium of transport, which it used to be. And I could imagine things, if you open part down at the river and you are able to throw things in the top of the river, it will transform as well, because there's a problem with this river. It will be contaminated or changed or something. So maybe we can throw things up there in the river, fish them out again by symbolic processing of the distance between culture, levels in society.
Yeah, maybe a dye color or something that is not harmful, but that it is easy to recognize, you know.
But so is this river, it's not one of the sewers, it's simply a river in a tube? It's water?
Yeah, there's many of them in Mexico City. There's Rio Churubusco, Rio Miscuac.
But there are sewers already, actually.
Yeah, there are 48 rivers who are tubed.
This
and then became sewers because
that's
they
why the main
el pozo este
es uno de los más grandes en la Ciudad de México, que está al ladito del río. Es por eso que este estoy seguro que no es drenaje. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more like
and you can see it at the other side of the city. Does it come out?
I don't really know where it does come out. I think it's one of the as a matter of fact, I think it's one of the rivers that is keep on flooding Xochimilco.
Oh, okay, so it
desemboca.
Yeah,
desemboca in Xochimilco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting thing to think of a river as a way of a link between two places in a city.
Mm-hmm.
And for that matter, we have many roads as well that have this kind of function where they developed, where they are developing. When I came here, I was not very conscious of, but later more and more that we're living, I said it before, on top of the lake with such a big community. But at one point there was the first street or the first road over the lake. And many of these pieces of the infrastructure are still there. Many of the old constructed roads became the more important routes, which are now constituted through the center of Mexico. And I was wondering if we can do something symbolic as well, because these roads are very long and they connect incredible various groups of people, and there's influx and
yeah. I think Calzada de Tlalpan will be one of the
mm-hmm.
most important targets.
What's the message you want?
I don't know, to use, because I'm thinking of systems that we can apply to the city of Mexico. as a way of making people conscious about the situation, the differences, the frictions, the problems there are, and by indicating certain systems that are connected in a certain way, offering ways of thinking of solutions.
Changing habits.
Changing habits, for example, or consciousness or anything. But
because
by giving information or making things clear, yeah?
In this example that he was mentioning, for example, she said if you don't throw the things into the river, if you throw them into the river, they disappear and you don't see them anymore. If you wouldn't throw them in the river and you just put them there, suddenly you have a big mountain of trash. Of course, that's not what you want. But that's what you would get, and that's what other people are getting in the end. Down. If you bring all this trash up, back, as a way of saying this is what you are creating there, you know? So, what's the alternative? I don't know.
No deberíamos decir allí, sino que también les pertenece lo de abajo,
claro.
Y que la montaña
claro.
Al final
huyendo,
explota,
claro,
o sea.
Claro.
But this is what everybody knows,
sí,
that there are...
No, but more than saying it's yours, it's like, okay, if you, instead of putting here, you put it there, it's the same thing, the only difference is that you see it. So what's the alternative? What can you do not to throw it there and not to leave it here? I don't know, I'm just...
Yeah, because otherwise you need to get a local authority involved with the, well, better rubbish collection. I mean, it would be a...
Yeah, something, yeah.
Political, it would get political.
Well, and also basically, well, how many things do you throw away that you could actually reuse would be perhaps a good way of approaching the subject.
Or you can divide the trash and which one can you use for whatever. Yeah. Organical.
But also,
organical.
I don't know, by throwing away, you know, water bottles, yogurt cartons, whatever, I know this is a very bad way of looking at it from a recycling point of view, but all that stuff eventually gets collected and is financially useful to somebody. Not to say, oh no, well, we're depriving them of their yogurt, obviously not, but...
O sea, pero eso no, eso solo se va a ajustar, no va a dejar de existir. O sea, si las cosas están bien direccionadas, no le estás quitando el trabajo a alguien, estás... creando también otros trabajos, ¿no? Y bueno, hay que ser ojete en pensar que le estás quitando el trabajo a alguien que se dedica a separar mierda.
No, hay que evolucionar. A veces cuando sale una tecnología o un proceso nuevo más efectivo, que es más mejor para todos, alguien pierde porque queda obsoleto algo, mientras que otro toma el relevo. Pero por ejemplo es, no sé, por ejemplo es injusto que te pongo un ejemplo más drástico. Por ejemplo, la vacuna contra las caries existe, pero no interesa, porque mucha gente se quedaría sin trabajar.
Claro. Pues claro, pero eso pasa en todo. También ya hay sustituto de gasolina, ya también hay llantas que no se ponchan.
Hay un...
O sea, vamos.
Por eso hay que buscar el punto, ¿no? Y los que tienen el... Lo que pasa en estos casos, tal vez tienen el poder de cambiar, son los que tienen el poder de quedarse ahí aferrados por el momento.
Yeah, I think that behavior of the people generally is never changed by telling them what to do to make their own life better. I think the only real way exists is doing something out of an example and people imitating because they think they will be better off by doing that as well. It's like if you make recycling trendy, it becomes suddenly something at the dinner table you discuss how you recycled your old shoelaces into some.
For me, the main thing further than saying we could recycle this or that and whatever, it's one thing, changing, making people stop taking Mexico City as a form of displacement. Because people do not use this city. I mean, people go from point A to B, and what happens in between, they don't care if there's, I don't know, graffiti, these are horrible ads, and meanwhile, if they throw something into the thing, they don't care because they don't use the city. So cities that people walk a lot in their cities, the relationship between people and the city is totally different. I mean, in New York or in Barcelona or even Venice or Amsterdam, that these people, that people has direct contact with the environment, they have a different attitude towards the city. Yeah. Okay. So it's also, it's really complex because it also deals with the moral, double moral of Mexicans that, oh no, my daughter, don't go out, it's dangerous and dark and back there on the street, you know? Instead of, if there were thousands of people every night, at night, this city will not be as dangerous as they say it is, you know?
¿Por qué puede suceder esto? Porque en cambio el orgullo de ser mexicano es muy fuerte, el sentimiento de, pues, de la nación de donde sales, o de tus orígenes, o de tu historia en general, por el poco tiempo que llevo aquí. Es lo que he podido percibir. En cambio la ciudad está relativamente dejada por algunos sectores.
Perdón, pero creo que parte de lo que influye ahí es que ya por lo visto lo tocaron bastante, es el tráfico, el medio de transporte. No se ha hecho el proceso de llegar a algo interesante, pues, ¿no? O sea, digamos que yo siempre he pensado que si se debería implementar arte público en la Ciudad de México, debería ser en los sistemas de transporte, porque es cuando más tiempo estamos en la ciudad, pues, ¿no? No es en los parques ni en los monumentos. O sea, todos esos intentos de arte público podrían parecer interesantes, pero creo que realmente, si abordamos el caso en México en particular, tendría que ser el transporte.
Claro, claro.
A mí me gustó particularmente en el metro, estaban las vitrinas donde se iba a exponer unas pinturas, estuvieron una o dos semanas los pintores, los grafiteros, trabajando dentro de la vitrina mientras la gente pasaba, ¿no? Tal vez una excepción.
Sí, bueno, se vuelve arte procesual en ese sentido, ¿no?
I like
el proceso está importante.
Sorry. I really like the idea of walking as a way of rediscovering a value that a city can have to you, not only to de-dangerify your idea of the city, but also as a sort of cultural rebirthing technique, just taking a walk or helping people to take a walk. I really like the idea of if you put somebody just in a neighborhood or in a different neighborhood than they're from, or connecting from one neighborhood to another neighborhood and just walking there. Because the first thing that one of the first things I realized when I arrived here, that people navigate by objects they know, like I go from my house to the cultural center and then I cross over to the church, and from the church I go to the Zócalo, and from there I find my way to this place I have to go. And not really by shortest route or fastest route, but more of cultural points that they know, where they would usually or have before got out of the car. So, you get in the car, you go to this point, you get out of the car, and everything in between doesn't seem to exist.
And Mexicans love to park in front. they could be making turns and turns until they find the closest place. They could not walk three blocks.
I would agree with you, pero, sin embargo, people don't have time in the city, ¿no? O sea, son los menos los que se dan la oportunidad de caminar por caminar. Y creo que también hay una gran parte de la población que sí camina y camina un chingo, o sea, ¿no?
Sí.
Porque connecting the dots en transporte público
es
not an easy thing, ¿no? Entonces, creo que el issue de caminar es algo que pasa mucho en la Ciudad de México. Lo interesante ahí sería, bueno, cómo vuelves el acto de caminar importante.
Claro.
No nada más caminar.
Ajá.
O sea, bueno,
pero
¿qué pasa
también
cuando
de
caminas?
Vivir en una ciudad loca, en donde tienes que estar aquí a tal hora, donde el pesero no va a pasar a la hora que tú crees que pase, donde la gente está súper preocupada,
sin embargo,
el otro joven, que tal, o sea, ¿cómo desacelerar eso para que puedas disfrutar de la caminata? Un domingo por la tarde, puede ser, pero
siempre sucede.
Y eso es más a raíz, ¿no?
Pero puede ser mucho más rápido tomar transporte. O sea, sí hay, aunque el transporte público aquí, pues le falta mucho, mucho. Pero el metro, por ejemplo, si vas al centro o si vas al sur, siempre te sale mucho más rápido
que
en el metro, ¿no?
Sí,
o ir en bici. O sea, yo que voy, obviamente, o sea, sí hay ya hay ventajas obvias en no manejar, solo que como es tan vasta la ciudad, como
sí, lo que pasa es que
cobertura, no hay.
Lo ideal para cualquier ciudadano de la Ciudad de México sería tener todas las posibilidades, porque hay lugares donde si te vas en transporte público te metes una chinga.
Eso, sí.
Hay muchos otros donde, aunque tengas coche, si eres sensato, te vas en metro. O sea, ahí la cuestión es cómo.
Es como integrar, ¿no? También, ¿no? A la vida cotidiana de más gente y de.
Well, there's a map, you can make a map of experience of how you travel through a city. Which are completely different depending on your economic situation.
Sure.
So if you have more economic means, then you experience the city as a completely different terrain, physical terrain, then you are dependent of bus and public transport. I see this back in every city.
Exactly.
Up until the point where in Sao Paulo there's the highest concentration of personal helicopters per person. And you can see that obviously the shortest line in the city is flying and the fastest because there's not a lot of traffic jams in the air. But this is the other end of the spectrum where if you cannot even pay for a public transport, for example, you have to walk, which happens of course a lot as well.
And Sao Paulo is especially designed for long walks, no?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, but I am intrigued also by the fact that they told me that in Chimalhuacan, that the 800,000 people who live there, nobody works there because there is no work in this area. And so everybody has to migrate into the city for an hour, hour and a half,
yeah,
and back hour and a half, which is an incredible effort. How
yeah.
You can hardly imagine why.
Not in also the periphery.
But I think that's also a feature, right? Of but I mean, in at any socioeconomic level, people here don't mind driving 3 hours a day.
They don't mind. I think they realize that
what you're gonna do, so you do it, and that's
it's not that you don't mind; it's that you don't have another choice.
Yeah, but
you've never done it differently.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Really,
you know, like the quality of life is so.
After living in Amsterdam for 5 years, I don't want to take a car anymore.
Yeah.
I want to be on a bike and I don't want to move more than I don't know how many kilometers.
Sure.
And I'm back in the city and I'm like, what the fuck is this? But I didn't have another choice before, so.
Right.
It's
well,
and
we're kind of between. Like, I just went to LA and it was very interesting. So I'm waiting for it to see how Mexico City would work if it was actually well organized, you know, in terms of. There must be a similar proportion of cars and drivers, right, who drive the same amount of time every day, and yet. You go a little bit faster, the radio stations are really good, you know, life is much more figured out for somebody in a car. And so we're kind of in between that, right? Because either Mexico, you know, there's always a push to improve life for drivers, and so on the visa and all that kind of thing, and yet at the same time there's a push to get people out of the cars, which you don't have in LA.
I just would like to conclude at this point because we come to our 75 minutes, which were promised. Just for the audience. I would like to thank everybody. We'll continue a little bit more after. But I would like to thank everybody for joining this session. The audience, especially, for listening in. I think that we arrived at some very interesting point of departure to work on further. How we can analyze the city. With its infrastructure of water and roads and behavior on the water and the road as means of communicating cultural behavior and how to maybe improve on that, and especially the idea of how to make walking important again, as Ilana says, triggers me for another discussion and another podcast pretty soon brought to you. Thanks for listening. This was Allard von Horn. Bye-bye.